The crowd goes quiet. He steps up. It's a big moment for him. He puts the key in the door and he's in! Yes! Another happy customer from DNG O'Sullivan Hurley. Proud sponsors of Clare FM's Sideline View.
Good evening and welcome along to Sideline View with Owen Brennan and Calamity James Lynch.
That's how it's going to be now, is it? Calamity. Unreal.
Just like to throw in an all curveball. It certainly feels like Friday the 13th as we're amidst unprecedented times in Ireland at present, but it goes without saying that people's health and safety takes precedence over everything else. So while we have a much different show than we initially anticipated this evening in light of all the sporting activity being suspended until the end of the month, the show does go on, which may not be music to everyone's ears, but it certainly keeps us off the streets for the next hour or so.
It's not music to anyone's ears, Owen, because we don't do music on this show.
Yeah, true. We might have to with the way the sport is going. I suppose, James Murray, or I can't blame you for this one, at least.
But I'd hope not. I definitely hope not, Owen. I mean, you'd think so at the same time, but I mean, I'm sure at some point you're going to find a tenuous link that can prove that I'm responsible for this whole fiasco.
Believe me, I've looked, but I've nothing yet uncovered anyway. With the country on lockdown, instead we're drifting to sunnier climes where Ailish Constantine and the Adelaide Crows are experiencing a much more sobering season compared to the momentum-fueled success of 2019. While the latest banner success story comes just in the nick of time as the Clare Badgers senior inline hockey squad captured the All-Ireland League 2 season in Longford last Saturday.
Clare Badgers on?
Yes, and you'll find out all about them in good time, my friend.
I am intrigued. We've also been keeping an eye on the AFLW since last season here on Sideline View, and in particular on Kilmittle native and Clare Jewel star Ailish Considine's progress with the Adelaide Crows. Last season was a particularly special one for Ailish, with both Adelaide in the AFLW and her own Kilmittle in the County Senior Ladies Football Championship securing the crown of champions.
Yeah.
This season, though, has been a tough one for the Crows, and we are at the same time delighted to have Ailish join us on the line from Adelaide to talk a bit about the 2020 season so far, life in Adelaide, and the mushrooming Irish influence in the AFLW.
Thanks for having me.
I think the last time you joined us, you were in the studio here with us in Clare FM, and since then you've helped Kilmittle to a well-deserved county title. I mean, that must have been great to go back to Adelaide having achieved kind of, a personal dream on the home front.
Yeah, oh my God, it was just, it was crazy. Like even now, looking back, I still actually don't believe we actually won it, and we actually have the county title in our back pocket. It's crazy to think that. So yeah, it was obviously a huge high coming back to Adelaide, you know, having that and knowing that I've actually fulfilled a childhood dream, like you said. So probably a bit rushed in the end, ended up having to go back a week after we won it back to Adelaide. So in hindsight, probably maybe should have delayed that flight maybe a week or two, but look, I got in as much celebrating as I could in that week, and the girls certainly made up for it in the weeks after.
Yeah.
And I suppose, just out of interest, when you got back to Adelaide, did they understand how much it meant to you to have done that?
Some did, some didn't. Like they obviously realised it was a big achievement, you know, and they were like, oh, two premierships in 1 year, and I was like, yeah, kind of. But yeah, like some of them did and some of them didn't, but to me and to Kilmohan, and I guess the family and stuff, they were the kind of most important people to celebrate it with, and I was lucky enough and fortunate enough to do that for that last week.
Looking at the season so far, you know, the title defence hasn't gone as you'd have hoped, and it's been a season of ups and downs. You know, what do you think has changed? I mean, has been changes in the squad, or what is it since last season that maybe Adelaide just haven't had that killer instinct maybe going through the season?
Yeah, like we started pretty well. Like our pre-season games were good against GWS and against Freo, but I just think we've been hit with injury big time.
Yeah.
Like we lost our co-captain Chelsea to an ACL who you chatted
yeah.
to.
Yeah.
Like you had a few girls coming back from ACLs, like with Aaron and Rhianna Metcalf. So like for the first few rounds we had no captain on the field, and like we had, you know, our leadership group, but you know, you'd miss the presence of Chelsea and Aaron, and I guess just the other injuries that we picked up along the way, like with Denny in the preseason game, Denny Van Hagen, she's our winger, and she's probably one of the most underrated players. She just gets it done, and she covers every inch of grass in the field. So, like, when you're down, starting to miss players like that, and we're missing Eloise Jones last week, who's like a key forward for us, and the list just kept building and building. And throughout preseason, even for round one, we had to play one of our train-ons because we were down to so many injuries. So it's just been a year of injuries and trying to recover from that. And I guess a lot of the new girls that were signed and would play this year, you know, haven't had experience in AFLW and with the club and the style of play. So, like, it's a big ask for them to transition straight away into, you know, a premiership winning side and get the job done. And obviously teams have improved as the year has gone on, and you know, the preseason has got better, they've trained more together, you know, so like the standard's only going to keep rising here, and it's the same like with any competition, it's going to keep getting better as the years goes on. So I think, yeah, like, injuries has probably been a number one struggle for us this year in you know, trying to retain what we did last year. But I guess it just hasn't clicked as much as it did last year, and that's, you know, just due to the fact of, you know, the amount of players in and out of the squad and with injuries. So, but look, it's even with the girls being out and stuff, like the new girls have really stepped up and they really have made an impact. And,
yeah,
you know, like you said, it has been an up and down season. Like, we've won two, lost two, so like it's pretty even up and down. But, you know, we're still within a chance. Like, we have three more games left. We have GWS this weekend, and then Gold Coast, and then Richmond. So, like, if we win our last three games, we're right in there. Like, we can still qualify for the semis. So, like, we're not down and beaten by any means yet. So, we're still going to give it a good crack and to just take it game by game. So, it's GWS. This is our final this weekend, and hopefully we can get a good result.
Yeah, and we wouldn't expect anything else. And even looking at the results, I mean, aside from last week's defeat to the Kangaroos, there hasn't been a lot in the difference between the Crows and the sides that have beaten you. Even, you know, it's probably a case of small margins in the league this year. Would that be fair enough?
Yeah, that's definitely fair. For this year, like, obviously apart from last weekend, we're North, which are a great side.
Yeah.
There hasn't been much between the teams, and you know, it's probably, you know, the talent has spread a bit more this year, which is, you know, it's probably a good thing for the comp because it makes it more even. There is one or two teams that are struggling, but otherwise every other team is pretty even, so it has made the competition a lot more difficult to call and to predict a winner.
And I suppose, looking at your own game then, Ailish, I mean, you're into your second season, and technically you're still a rookie according to the AFLW, but I mean, how much more comfortable have you been, you know, playing with the Sharon ball as much as anything else, and in an oval field and that with the rules?
Yeah, obviously have a lot more understanding of the game and the rules and that type of things, and getting used to the size of that massive oval field. But yeah, like, technically the skills have come a lot easier this year, which is just reward, I guess, for the amount of effort and extra stuff that I did last year and have been doing. So, like, that's, you know, that's rewarding at the end of the day to see that there's, you know, a big difference from this time last year to now. Like, game sense and stuff, still struggling a little bit with that side of things because it is played very differently to Gaelic football. Like, Gaelic football it's very set in its ways, it's predictable, you know where the ball is going to go, whereas this game is just absolute chaos. Like, you've no idea where the ball is going to go, you can't predict it. You expect it to bounce straight into your hands and it goes either over your head or through your legs or to the side. It's just one of those games where you can't predict where it's going to go, and I think I'm still struggling with that side of things, and, you know, reading where the game goes, and it's frustrating because the only thing that will, you know, improve that is time and more games, and, you know, I just have to be patient and wait for that and learn through every game and try my best to actually learn as much as possible every game I play. So so the technical side of things has been, you know, there's been a big improvement and stuff, but obviously the game style and the you know, actually impacting the contest and getting in around the tackle and stuff is something definitely that I still need to work on and get a lot better at.
Yeah, I suppose you're getting to realise the old saying, a bounce of a ball. You know, they say it here, but it's round and it comes back to you. But you literally know now how it feels to have the luck of a bounce of a ball either way.
Yeah, I really do.
I know at the start of the season you were working on kind of learning to play in a more defensive position with Adelaide. I think they were probably looking to make use of your ability to play off both left and right. How difficult has that transition been?
Yeah, to be honest, I found that very hard because I've actually never played in defence in any cause, whether that be football, camogie, soccer, anything. Whatever sport I've played, I've always been either midfield for furthest back or attacker or goalkeeper. Like, there's no in between. So like, it's just been, for me, it was just an absolute foreign like thing to try and think I have to defend someone here instead of actually attack this ball. And I think that was probably the thing I struggled with the most. Like I understood our structures and how we play and that kind of thing, but just the actual physical part of defending, like, I'd just forget. Like, my head would be in an attacking frame and then I'd be like, oh, I'm supposed to defend this here. So like, that was probably the biggest struggle. But yeah, like, I've been moved around a lot. Like, I was half forward and then back to the wing, and then so I've been kind of sticking between the wing and half forward at the moment for the last few games. So he hasn't ruled out the defensive, the half-back thing yet, he said to me, but he's like, we'll just give you a chance back up in the forwards and the wing. So, yeah, we'll see. It's a work in progress.
Well, at least you can't be a goalkeeper anyway.
Yeah, true. He had to manage two goals.
And it seems to have paid off. You've been up there. You got a couple of goals too anyway. I suppose the big thing. Oh, well, true, but not always. I suppose the weather and the conditions, you know, particularly the heat, I think, play a major factor, and you've mentioned it a few times. Is it still something you're finding hard to cope with, or have you become much better acclimatised this season?
Yeah, I think I have become a lot more acclimatised, to be fair. I still complain about it a lot, and even when it's a very hot day, they'll hear me complaining about it at training. But yeah, no, I actually think I have acclimatized a little bit more. Anywhere, I think, around 30, maybe 35 is okay. But anything above that, I'm cooked. I can't do it. And I think a lot of the girls even struggle when it's above that too, to be fair. So, but yeah, we've actually had a very up and down summer here in Adelaide. Like, it hasn't been, like, we had a few 40 degree days and then it dropped to 22. So like, it's been very up and down, pretty much like our season, to be honest. But that has actually suited me a lot better because I've actually had days, that was 40 degree days, I could just stay away from it and then be back outside around when it's 22 degrees. So, and we're obviously gone into autumn now, so it should start to cool a little bit, although we have had two 30 degree days and quite humid. So last night was quite humid at training, so we'll see how it goes.
Our heart bleeds for you. It's actually 6 degrees here.
I know. I'm here. And I rang my mother yesterday and I asked her, I was like, oh, what's the temperature back home? And she's like, I don't know, but it's freezing, it's miserable, and it's horrible. And I was like, okay, that's a good representation of the weather at the moment.
And I suppose with new clubs coming on board, there's, you know, it's room for more pro players. And from our point of view, by extension, there's more Irish recruits turning up. I mean, there's now 18 players spread out across the league. I know there's only 17 playing because one player out due to injury. But how do you think the Irish players are doing, and in particular, I suppose, those newer players to the league this season?
Yeah, like, I think they're doing pretty well, to be honest. I don't get to meet them too often, like, only literally when we play against them on the field. So, because obviously none of them are based in Adelaide, and but like, they're all doing pretty well. Like, they're all holding their own, and like, that's to be expected because, you know, we come from such a high level back home, and like, the games are similar enough to that you can have an impact when you get over here. Obviously, you're not going to be the finished product in your first year, second year, whatever that is, but you know you're good enough to be making that squad and to be making the team. And like, the skills are picked up so quickly by the girls in general. Like, you know, you wouldn't even notice the Irish girls because they don't have a different style of kick. You know, they're nailing the kick every single time. They've got good hands, good skills. So, like, they're doing really, really well. And I think a few more probably potentially could come over in the next few years as well, if there's any more teams that are going to come into the AFLW. So, Yeah, like it's great to see so many, and it's, you know, it's credit to the LGFA back home producing such great athletes that can make it at a professional sport in a different country.
Yeah, and for yourself, I mean, outside of training and playing and obviously complaining about the weather, which is probably a full-time job, you're also working with the club and kind you're working with the club and helping promote the game and coach the next generation of football stars as well. Can you tell us about that aspect of it?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to coach them. They're probably coaching me more than I'm coaching them. I'm working with the community team, the female community team up in the top floor at the club, and we head out to schools and do clinics about, you know, teamwork, leadership and communication, and, you know, just teaching the basics of football and trying to get them involved. And like it's huge, because like a lot of the girls actually recognize you, and they were like, oh, I was at the game last weekend, or this kind of thing. And it's huge, like that means a lot, to know that people are actually out there supporting you, and young girls are looking up to you and trying to get playing football. And, you know, for them it's absolutely huge, because by the time they're old enough to play, it'll be a full-time professional sport, so it'll be a lifestyle for them, which is incredible to think. So obviously the more you can promote it now, it's, you know, it's only going to grow the game and grow the support. And in fairness, people of Adelaide are incredible to support. Like I think we average about 6,000 at each game at home, which is crazy to think. But yeah, so it's good. We actually are on a bit of a community ban at the moment due to the pandemic of the coronavirus. So all players that work in the community department are not allowed to go on school visits. So I think there will be a major shutdown in the club in the next couple of probably days, more so than weeks, in terms of staff and players, because look, as soon as one player gets coronavirus, you've affected already your own team, the team you played at the weekend, the team that played the other team at the weekend. So like it's just going to be a mess, because it's all so close. So I think they're taking all the precautions. We had a little bit of a meeting last night before training, just on where the club is at the moment and what the AFL directives are. And yeah, so unfortunately we won't be able to go out to schools anymore for the foreseeable future, I guess. But it's been rewarding while we were going out to schools, but we'll see what the future holds.
I suppose from a Irish point of view, anyone following your diary on the RT Sport website, they'll know a lot about maybe differences in training styles and pre-match routines that you have in Adelaide compared to here at home. I found, you know, the idea, the music and that at the training and in the dressing room interesting. Was it something that you found difficult to get used to immediately, or did you find it made things easier for you, that kind of relaxed vibe?
Like, it definitely made things easier. It was definitely foreign, because it was like, this is really weird. We're playing music at training and we're playing music absolutely blaring in the dressing rooms. And like, to be fair, before I'd come out, like it kind of started a little bit, like, you know, having the little portable speaker in the dressing room before a game, that kind of thing, in some teams. But to the extent that they do it here, they actually have a big full-blown speaker that they transport with them. Like, it's huge. It's nearly as high as me. So like, it's a big massive speaker that they bring. Like, it's that important that they bring it along to every away game, every home game. And the music's just blaring before the game and our training. And like, we all have our own song that's picked on the playlist, so like any time someone hears a song, they just go crazy. And like, it was funny actually, before the Geelong game, like they were just dancing like mad, like before the game. And Adam Kelly actually just came over to me and was like, how do you know that they're on, like, you know, they're ready for the game? And I was like, because they're doing this, because they're actually dancing and just going crazy to the music. I was like, once they're calm and relaxed and just dance away to music, they're good to go. And like, we played really well against Geelong and really had a good performance. So that's obviously very, very different. And the whole relaxed atmosphere around, you know, training and the games and everything, the meetings, everything that comes around it, and that's all because the doc is just, it's a big change from the GA, which can be quite in your face a lot of the time. A lot of coaches can be, a lot of the, you know, admin staff around can be very much
motivational.
Motivational, that's the word I'm looking for. Yeah,
I had to go on with intense myself.
Motivational, I'm with intent.
Yeah.
So, like, that's obviously a big difference. And, like, that we don't take it seriously whatsoever. Like, we do, and everyone gets the work done, train really hard and play hard, and, you know, everything gets done. But at the end of the day, it's all about enjoying it. So, like, they really bring that side of it, you know, to training and to the games. So I think that's, for me, it was definitely a huge part of our success last year. It was, you know, that side of things and how, you know, well the team gelled and how well we were able to, you know, just enjoy each other's company in, you know, whether if that's a dance before a game or whatever it was. So, like, yeah, it's, I think it's something that could be introduced back home a little bit more, a little bit of a more relaxed approach, because, you know, you play your best football when you're enjoying it and when you're actually relaxed and whatever. I know some people need to be absolutely pumped at the door before they go out playing, but in general, if you're dealing with a group of women, you kind of need, you need to be a calm and influence rather than one that's going to rise them up so much that they're just going to, you know, absolutely freeze as soon as they get out there. So, yeah, it's interesting, and Doc does a very good job of keeping 30 women calm, which is not a very easy task to do.
I'll pass that on to Kevin Cannon and David O'Brien there.
they did their best.
I suppose just the diary pieces themselves are a real kind of great insight for us into the league from up here. But I mean also into your own life away from home, and you're very honest and open about, you know, the highs and lows of living abroad. Is it something you enjoy doing, that RT diary piece?
Yeah, no, it is. It's good. And you know what, it's actually, because I'm pretty slack at keeping communication back home, it's actually good for my close friends and family to know what's actually going on today. So it's a handy way of, you know, getting that out there. But no, yeah, it's good. And like, it's pretty, like, simple things that I do each week. So, like, I don't think it's that interesting. But I guess when I'm living on the other side of the world, pursuing the dream of playing, you know, professional sport, it's probably nice to read what that's like, you know, honestly, yeah, from my point of view, and probably similar enough to what the other girls are going through in, you know, Melbourne and Perth, wherever everyone else is. So it's, yeah, I think it's a nice idea for people to see, you know, how we live over here, and, you know, how we do miss home sometimes, even though we are living the dream over here. It's, you know, you still do miss the holy grail of back home. So, yeah, I think it was definitely something that I jumped at when RT approached me. So, and, you know, it seems to been a success, and, you know, I've had, you know, good feedback from it, and people are, you know, seem to be pretty interested in what's going on. So, yeah, it's been good.
Yeah, and looking to the weekend, obviously the focus on Great Western Sydney coming to Adelaide, and that's Cora Staunton and Yvonne Bonner's side. You played them in a pre-season game, and they won by, let's say, a comprehensive scoreline, and I suppose they've had a better run of it than you in the league as well, but I suppose you need the boost, especially in the Richmond Oval.
Yeah, so, like, obviously, yeah, Cora's on fire after scoring 4 goals last weekend. And, like, she's a great player no matter what she picks up, whether that's football or rugby, AFL. She just has whatever that thing is. She just has it. And unfortunately, Yvonne will be playing because she's out with an ankle injury, I think, for the remainder of the season, which is a good thing for us, to be honest, because, you know, she's always wanted to get a goal or get something or set someone else up. So, but, yeah, they have been going well. They had a good win last weekend against Richmond. So they'll be on a high after that, and they'll be seeing the same position as we are. They're fighting for that last spot, really, in the semi-finals, because they're at the moment sitting third and we're sitting fourth, and that's the spot we want. We want number 3 on the table, and we'll take number 2 and 1 if we could get it, but I think they're a little bit out of reach at the moment. So, you know, we're both absolutely fighting for this last spot, and, you know, the game pretty much depends on semi-finals, so it'll be an absolute, it'll be a big one, because, you know, they play a similar style to us. Like, they're really good in the contest, and, like, they really go hard, and, like, they have improved since last year as well, so they are transitioning a lot better and getting a lot more scores on the board. So it definitely won't be an easy game. It never is an easy game against GWS. So, yeah, we're hopeful that, you know, the home crowd and the home stadium, home venue will all, you know, add to our game, and hopefully we can come around the right end, because obviously we're coming from a bit of a downer last weekend against the Kangaroos. So, But, you know, it's a short season. You got to forget about that straight away and move on to the next game and focus on GWS, and we can hopefully get the job done this weekend and keep our season alive.
Absolutely, and let's hope you're not putting defence marking course, Dalton.
I'm not going to be anywhere near her.
Well, we wish you the best for the rest of the season down there in Australia, and sure, hopefully we might hear from you in the summertime when possibly be back here in Clare. Thanks so much for getting up so early to touch base with us here.
The top three it is.
Thanks so much.
That's it. We're aiming to see you in the top three.
Thanks so much.
Oh, when I said a room with a view, I didn't mean overlooking Cusack Park.
Let DNG O'Sullivan Hurley and their award-winning team find your perfect view. Visit dngosullivanhurley.com. Proud sponsors of Clare FM's Sideline View.
Welcome back to Sideline View, where we're unconsciously developed an animal theme to this week's show. Before the break, we spoke with a crow in Australia, and now we're delighted to welcome a badger to the studio in the former Clare Badgers inline hockey club's Kelly Humphreys. The club are celebrating their All-Ireland League 2 season clinching success with further hopes of outright national glory this summer. All going well.
Yeah.
So Kelly, I suppose welcome along to the show, number one.
Thank you.
I suppose before we get to the last weekend's triumph, you'll have to explain a little about the game to the listeners, I suppose.
Sure. And to us on.
To us. Inline hockey.
Inline hockey, yeah. So a lot of people might know it as roller hockey as opposed to inline hockey. I think the word inline kind of throws them off.
Mm-hmm.
You use rollerblades or inline skates. It's very similar to ice hockey. Obviously, except you play on tile floor as opposed to ice. The rules are very similar to ice hockey. You have four aside as opposed to five. It's fast sport. It basically is the same as ice hockey, except you're using inline skates. There's no contact. There's no fighting.
Oh.
That's kind of, yeah, I know. But
so the Irish kind of like a bit of contact.
Yeah, there's a couple of rules a little different to ice hockey in that sense, I suppose.
Yes, yeah, there is in that sense. And as well, for the inline hockey that we play here, it is mixed teams as well.
Yeah.
So men and women play together, which is why I think there's sort of the less contact, less fighting, because you have some fairly big guys and some fairly small women at times. So
yeah. I was looking earlier on today, like 15 teams or clubs at least throughout the country. There's five in Munster, that includes yourselves. There's one in Cork, the Cork Wolfpack. And there's three in Waterford, the Shadows Hockey Club, the Waterford Vikings, and the Waterford Penguins. I mean, at least there's Badgers in Clare. The Penguins is a bit more fanciful, you'd imagine. Or maybe there's something we don't know about, is there?
Not that I've heard of. Down in Waterford.
I suppose, how long has the club been in operation? Going into a small bit of history, I suppose.
Yeah, so the Clare Badgers were formed in 2016. Previous to that, there was another club called the Clare Waves. But 2016, they became the Clare Badgers. And in 2018, they started the junior side of the club as well. So we have under 12s and under 14s who we train with and who we train as well. So that's sort of how, you know, we started recently. And in 2018 as well, we did win the same title that we won this year.
Ah.
So we're on a good roll, to be honest.
Okay.
But our main goal now is to sort of improve the junior side of it, you know, recruit more kids to the sport because it's not as well known as, let's say, the GAA, obviously, and to kind of push it forward that sense. Because like you're saying, there is a good few amount of clubs around, but to be more well known, particularly in Clare, would be nice. If we could play our home games in Clare, it'd also be nice. Right now, we play our home games in Longford.
Yeah,
it's not
okay.
Really the same.
No.
Same type of support. So it would be, yeah, it'd be good in that sense. Like,
you can't really call it a home venue when you're doing Longford.
No, not really.
What kind of facilities would be needed? Or is there such facilities in Clare? Could there something to be adapted, you'd imagine?
There would be. And this is the big push we're trying for now, is because right now we train in Corfin, in the GAA hall, which is fine, but it's not ideal.
Yeah.
We could easily convert something, let's say, in Ennis, like one of the industrial estates. Like, there's a huge amount of property out there that could be adjusted very easily to have the right floor. And then we could actually host games. And if we host the games, you're talking about bringing teams in from all over the country, doing tournaments. You know, it'd be massive. And it would be good for the town, good for Clare as well.
Great for the sport in Clare, because, as you say, it would raise a profile.
Definitely.
I presume, I mean, it's difficult to have a profile when, as you say, you're playing your games in Longford. It's a lot, you know, it's a lot for people to have to travel that far when maybe they don't have an involvement themselves.
Exactly. And I think even in terms of recruiting people, you know, it is a commitment if you're, even if you're on the senior team as an adult, like, you know, you have job commitments or family to, you know, make the journey up to Longford for, you know, 3 games in 1 day and drive back. You know, it is a commitment. And if you have children doing that, you know, if we could say, listen, we train in Clare, you know, we play in Clare, it's brilliant for the club and brilliant for the sport in general, like to bring more back to this side. Because we have guys coming up from Cork, down from Galway, to train with us in Corfin.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty impressive. And if we had something, you know, and like I said, it's not that much of an investment in terms of a facility, but it could be massive. You know, you could add things to it. You know, make it like an actual day out for people and do like tournaments or have the playoffs even in Clare would be pretty great.
And looking at numbers, I suppose, I mean, what sort of numbers do you have playing in, I suppose, from senior down through to the junior ranks?
We probably have, with junior and senior, probably about 50 players who train and play. Like, it kind of varies, especially with the kids, because we have a huge amount of kids who come for training, but they always can't play necessarily if they're going down to Cork or up to Longford. You know, it is a commitment for parents. Some parents have 2 or 3 kids on the team, that type of thing. So with the senior team, again, it varies. Like, our last win, I think we had 10 guys go up, or 12 guys, which isn't actually very many.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, it's in ice hockey, you have maybe 15 people because you've got 3 or 4 lines running out each time.
And exactly.
So is it meant to be similar in that way, that you would have 5 on court and 5 to 10 waiting to come off and
ideally,
sub in each
yes.
time?
Yeah, because you'd have 2 forwards, 2 defense and a goalie. So it's slightly different than ice hockey where you have 5. So this way you have 4 out players. And ideally you want to have at least 3 lines of 2 rotating out forwards, and ideally 3 at the back as well. And sometimes you have maybe like 1. You know, so it's quite tiring, because it is a fast game, and it's, you know, it's very physical, so you get tired very quickly, and ideally you want to be on and off, like minute long shifts, and you can't do that if you have 2 guys sitting on the bench, you know.
Yeah.
But the guys I missed last weekend, unfortunately, I was working, but
you missed the glory.
I did. I was really, really upset about that, because that was actually a rescheduled game for us.
Oh.
There's occasionally times they had to reschedule games, so this game shouldn't have been our last game, but it turned out to be. But they had very limited guys, unfortunately, and so there was. They did very well considering three games that day, and then
there's a lot of goals.
A lot of goals as well. Yeah, we're a solid team.
Obviously, and let's maybe reflect on last weekend's success. I mean, what is the significance of winning, or, you know, topping the All-Ireland League 2?
It's massive. It is massive. Because you're talking about, we play against 9 different teams from all over the country. So League 2, there's Elite League, League 1 and League 2, basically, and then the juniors. So it just sort of varies, not necessarily on skill level, but sort of amount like that people play and things like that. But for us, it's huge. That's 2 years in a row. Basically, we have topped out. We only had 1 loss the whole season, which is very impressive. We had a really good weekend up in Longford the end of February. We outscored our opponents like 50 goals to, I think it was like 3 or something, you know. So we're fairly dominant overall in the season, which is great. And then, so winning that's brilliant, because it is an All-Ireland medal, really, that we brought back for Clare. And maybe it's kind of weird to say it in that context, because normally that's sort of a GAA sort of thing. But it is, you know, we won in Ireland, and we brought that medal back. So now it's just the playoffs, which is the beginning of May. We have 2 games to beat there, and then we win the overall title.
And
so
would that see you guys then promoted to a League One?
Yes, yeah.
Standing then.
That would
so
be,
that's the,
exactly.
The idea behind it is to get you guys up to that position
up to the next
and to the next league.
Precisely, yeah. But, you know, we could also go the way of if we had more and more players, we could then actually split out the teams into like a more like League One and then League Two, depending on the type of skill level. Because we welcome like every type of player, we do have varying skill levels, which is great, I think.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you have guys who have maybe not played before, have, like myself, I haven't played in like 20 years. Slightly down, obviously, the list. But to be able to play with like guys who are like very good, it does bring your own skill level up.
Yeah.
You know, and it is very positive. A positive thing to do, and it's such a great game to play, and that's why we want to get more people doing it, because it's such an underrated sport in this country. Like, for me, it's normal, it's such a cultural thing for me, but to see it here, it's nice to see kids so excited about it, you know, because it's such a great sport for kids to learn, because you don't have to have any sort of sport background.
Yeah.
Like, you can literally learn everything from the ground up. And it's fantastic. And the guys we have training, our juniors, are really, really good. And the kids are just super excited to play, you know. So yeah. Nice.
Absolutely. You're from Canada originally.
Yes.
What brought you to the windswept shores of County Clare?
I just came as a tourist, really, to be honest, in the beginning. And I just really, really loved it. And especially, I'm not from like anywhere near the sea. I'm kind of like middle of the country. So yeah. I never grew up near the sea. And just something about Clare was just really lovely. Minus the weather, obviously.
the slight downside
of living here. But at home, sure, it's like minus 20. So yeah. You balance it out, you know.
When the sun shines, it's pretty awesome.
Exactly. That's what I always say. When it's like May, June, it's a good time.
Aside from yourself, is there many other, I suppose, people of, well, let's say, hockey backgrounds, ice hockey or inline hockey backgrounds involved in the club?
There is, actually, loads. Quite a lot of the guys are Europeans who would have played ice hockey back home. There's a guy who's from the States. He's obviously, he played hockey too. I think I'm the only Canadian. I am. And then there's a few Irish guys who've got involved, which is cool as well, because they, you know, they don't have the same type of background as we do, but they're like, love it.
Just as enthusiastic.
Exactly. And really keen. And like I said, it's such a great sport to get involved in. And the league in general is really great because they're very supportive of each other. Like, we're competitive, don't get me wrong. We want to win, and we do. But at the same time, like, when we win, you know, the guys come up to us from other teams or send us a message or whatever saying, like, good job, good win. You know, that's quite nice to have in a sport, and especially with a league like this where you only meet the guys when you're playing or, like, they're from different parts of the country. It's quite nice. It's just a nice community in general. Yeah,
that's good. And it's a sport that's growing, I'd imagine, all the time. I mean, you're only 4 years in existence, so I can't imagine that at the start, even though you might not have been involved, that, you know, within 4 years you'd be going for back-to-back All-Ireland titles.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty great. And I think we have quite a strong team, even though we don't necessarily have, I'm not going to say home support, but, you know, we don't have the type of support other teams get in terms of playing for your own county.
Yeah.
Because we are playing for the county.
Yes.
You know, but there's loads of people who don't even know we're there.
Yeah.
And that's the point of, like, doing all this stuff and trying to make ourselves more known. Like, a couple of the guys, they organized a demo at the Ennis National School for all the kids there.
Okay.
You know, it's like 800 kids, and they loved it.
Yeah.
You know, it was so fantastic to see. Like, they'd maybe never even seen anyone play hockey before, ever.
Yeah.
You know, which, like, boggles my mind a little bit. But, like, they were just so enthusiastic. So even if we got a few of those kids,
of course,
you know, coming up with us through the ranks, like, it's only going to continue to get better. And if we can get the support more locally and in the community from the council, things like that, like, there's a lot of potential, definitely.
My mother has a badger at home, so I could either
provide a mascot.
a mascot if you're
nice,
interested.
Nice, yeah.
I don't know if you'd be very good on the actual rollerblade zone. That's my only thoughts there front.
Yeah. You can always learn. It's easy to learn.
There's a cockerel there for Boris Ali in Ireland, so why not bring along a badger, even though he might be too.
He might be the healthiest thing from a health and safety perspective.
Yeah.
Possibly not.
I suppose for yourself, fingers crossed. I mean that. The whole virus thing passes by and we come out the other side. But I mean, having topped League Two, and you've got this opportunity in May to go up and play for League One status. It's got to be great for people involved to know that it's coming to fruition in that way. You know that all the hard work is paying off.
Absolutely, yeah, and it's great for our juniors because, you know, they see our success of, like, oh, okay, like, you know, we train twice a week when we can, unfortunately, right now. That's a bit on hiatus. But we train twice a week, and that's, you know, 4 hours a week of, like, hard work. And then the juniors are an hour, 2 hours a week as well. So they see us kind of progressing and see us, like, you know, getting these wins. And it's just, for them, it's exciting, and it's something that they can sort of look towards as well. So, yeah, absolutely. Like, it'll be a good time in May for sure.
Yeah.
You know, and that's actually being played up in Dublin.
Yeah.
It's not even down here either, so bit far, but yeah, it'll be good.
And I know you mentioned the collective training is probably going to be suspended now for a while, but I'm sure, like it certainly piqued our interest. I'm sure there's listeners out there that would love to either give it a go or maybe look to join up. How would they go about that?
Yeah, so the best thing to do, we're always looking for new players, both juniors and seniors. We do train year round, so even if they want to give us a ring now, or the best thing to actually do is just look on the website or on Facebook, Clare Badgers Inline Hockey, and just send us a message, and we'll let you know when training is resumed and how to get involved, and really we can provide, you know, we can help people out with equipment as needed as well. Like, all the guys are really good at, you know, if someone needs a pair of skates or a stick or something, because that's not necessarily easy to get in this country. So we do kind of have a bit of a stockpile.
Great.
So people can test it out and see what they think, and then if they want, they can order. Unfortunately, it has to be ordered outside the country, but in fairness, that's how it is.
You know? I was just going to ask that, because, you know, equipment would be one thing, but people don't want to buy stuff, you know, but they just want to maybe try out a sport.
Exactly.
That's possible, just to come along.
Absolutely. Because if they let us know ahead of time, we can make the arrangements for skates or stakes or whatever they need. It's no problem at all. Like, for kids, they need to have obviously just a helmet. That's the most important thing, and the rest we can definitely get. And that's how we've done it in the past, and generally people stay and join
it's
the club for
a
real.
Good community.
It's a very good community. Yeah. Like, especially the kids, they're just really welcoming. Like, I'm getting my daughter involved as well this year, and she's never been on skates before, which is also very shocking.
Sorry, right. She's not the
half
only one.
Canadian
I'm,
child. Like,
I'm in that boat too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I've never gone on skates, no.
Oh, it's fun.
Have you been on the ice?
God, no. That's even worse for
what?
Me. I have a horrible fear of losing a finger to an ice skate.
Nah.
Finger?
Yeah, if you fall and somebody skates over your hand.
Hold on, this interview's taking a whole different slant. You have a fear of losing a finger off an ice skate.
Exactly.
That's unlikely to happen.
Yeah. I don't know.
Just wear gloves.
I saw that one guy got nicked in the neck,
okay,
too.
Yeah,
years
don't watch
ago.
Stuff
that
like that. That doesn't help.
Anyway, you know. Therapy aside. we'd love to give it. Well, I would love to give it a go anyway.
I'll hold on to your badger for you on the sideline.
If you're wearing rollerblades, they're wheels. You can't nick anything.
True, I guess.
You know. And it's really, really is.
It fun, could be a balance issue then on that front.
Right. If you can ride a bike, you're pretty much good on wheels.
Can he leave it, please? You don't want to know about his problems. Believe me, there are many. Look, thanks so much for coming to join us this evening.
Thank you very much for having me.
And obviously the very, very best of luck for the rest of the season, and
cheers.
Hopefully it goes ahead in May, and that you're back in here with the All-Ireland Trophy.
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely, we'd love to be back
and
in.
If there's anyone out there that can, let's say, facilitate a new home for the Badgers.
Yes, absolutely.
And I mean the hockey team now, not my mother's pets. and also any new members that want to join up, go online to clarebadgersinlandhockey.ie.
Yeah, perfect.
Thanks a million.
Thanks so much.
Cheers.
Guys.
Thanks, guys.
We're coming into the last stretch of Clare FM's Sideline View Stakes, and DNG O'Sullivan Hurley are pushing hard now as they head towards the home stretch, and it's DNG O'Sullivan Hurley that are going to take the title of number one estate agents in County Clare, followed by Don Roman. DNG O'Sullivan Hurley, the Clare winners.
We're back on what is an eerie final part of Sideline View this week, as normally we're struggling to round up the weekend's action across numerous codes, but instead we're rounding down the activity across the county and beyond. At least your Clare Cup soccer prediction humiliation has been put in hold, James.
Humiliation. I was ready to launch a comeback here. I was going to put Dormer back in his place.
How convenient. I still can't get the skate thing out of my head, I'll be honest. Well, who has a phobia? Oh, anyway.
Look.
It goes without saying that this weekend's local and national soccer, GA and rugby are all shelved until at least April. So to counteract some messages we've received, St. Flannan's Crow Cup semi-final, which is scheduled for Monday against St. Raphael's of Loughrea in Gort, is definitely off, as is the O'Connor Cup, All-Ireland Third Level Ladies Football Championship weekend, and the National Hurling and Football Leagues for the foreseeable future at least.
True enough, Owen, and I mean, this coronavirus situation, it has put paid to pretty much all live sport across the country this weekend. And again, that includes too, as you said, with Flannan's, it also includes for Ennis Rugby Club, the Munster Youths Rugby Cup Finals. And we had arranged to chat with Richard Murphy from NSRFC ahead of the game. And we said, look, despite the cancellation, we'd ask him to join us anyway, have a quick chat about what has been a somewhat successful season for Ennis, particularly at underage and youth code. Richard, thanks so much for joining us. Obviously, not the greatest of situations, coronavirus, but I mean,
it's the best option was to cancel all sporting events and to try and contain this thing as soon as possible, I presume, anyway.
Oh, absolutely. And everyone had their part to play, so, you know, we weren't going to swim against the tide. So,
no, no.
You know, advice came down to shut things down, so that's what to do.
We said we'd have you on anyway just to have a chat about the season so far, because, I mean, for Ennis, it's been quite a successful season on the field, at particularly at youth level, I think. I mean, both the under-18s boys and under-18s girls have been doing really well this past season. So maybe a few words on the boys. They were to be playing against Cove in a Munster final, essentially, and, I mean, that was a huge achievement.
The team's been going well. They're unbeaten all year. Now, they've had it tough there the season's divided into two group phases. So the first phase is before Christmas, and they kind of steamrolled their way through North Munster and that. Phase two has been a different kettle of fish. You know, they've had a couple of tough battles here now as we got towards the business end of the season. So they had a tight game against Skibbereen, which they overcame in the quarterfinal. But, you know, they're the All-Ireland champions last year. So it was hard-earned. So they're battle-hardened, and they earned it again last week against Abbey Field. Team they'd given a hiding to in the first group play, then semi final turned into a dogfight, but they prevailed. You know, they know how to get over the winning line.
I suppose you were expecting it to be the Cove Pirates again. You know, that was the team you faced in the Munster Under 16 final 2 years ago, and a kind of famous win as well. So I presume you were expecting them to be the team to beat.
Yeah, well, form would have dictated as much, but, you know, it. You never know for sure.
Yeah.
They overcame Neil in the other semi-final. So, yeah, it's no surprise that it is Cove. And as I say, they seem to have been winning their games a little bit easier than we have. So I would say, on form, Cove are probably slight favourites. But, you know, our lads, they've been serial winners now for the last 4 or 5 years. So, you know, they wouldn't fear anyone.
And I suppose, as we know, we had a few of the lads in. They've been, I mean, doing well at representative level too. The club has had a few players on both the boys and girls youth sides in the past 6 months.
They have, yeah. There's three from the under-18 boys on the Munster and Irish under-18s panels. So they've been going well. Now, having said that, you know, it really is a team game, rugby, so they can't flourish without the rest of the team doing their job. So I'd be loath to put all the attention and focus on them, because, you know, as I say, if the rest of the team aren't putting these guys into position to throw their wares, you know, to all for nothing. And then with the girls, again, been a really strong showing from the three teams across their competitions, and obviously with Chisholm getting representative honours with the Irish Sevens programme, it's all things are going well, and we have a couple of girls playing in the AIL with Bowers this year. They've stepped up straight out of 18s, and between Alana McInerney and Ethan Corey. So all things being equal, you know, we're hoping to field that ladies women's team next year.
And, oh, brilliant.
You know, the interest seems to be high for it, so, you know, we're going in the right direction anyway.
Definitely, and I mean, again, at the junior level, the team looked like they could be heading for promotion. I mean, there's a bit of work to do. Kilorglan and Pipchi at the post for the top of the table honours, but there's still a few games left and playoff beckons, doesn't it?
Yeah, we finished second in the table to Kilorglan, finished 2 points behind them. It came down to a head-to-head. Now, we've been under the pump there since Christmas. We lost 5 or 14 players to season-ending injuries. So,
okay.
We were winning matches without playing particularly well, but we were getting over them. But just on the day below Clarkson, we just didn't take our chances, and they beat us in the head-to-head. So they've gone up automatically, and we're into a playoff scenario now. If the season finishes out.
Yeah, yeah.
If not, if the season doesn't finish out, we may well get promoted anyway.
Okay. Yeah. And what would promotion mean? I mean, to go back up to Division 2?
Well, obviously we're stepping up in standard. Look, you want your first team in any club, in any sport, is your flagship team, and you want them to be playing at high level as possible. A big thing for us down through the years is losing our best talent into senior clubs in Limerick.
Kids
heading off to college on the other side of the country. So it's been really difficult to try and maintain a level when, you know, the best of your talent is getting cherry-picked. So obviously, if you're playing up at a higher level, you have a better chance of retaining that talent, at least for a season or two before they go on and try and give it a crack at a senior level or a much higher grade. So,
yeah,
it'd mean a lot. We really, club our size, we really shouldn't be looking around down the Division 3, to be honest with you. But we are where we are for a reason. So we've rebuilt there over the last couple of years. It's a good, strong, young squad this year. And, if we get the reward of going up, we'd be hoping to build on that and keep pushing on. Because there's a big funnel of players hopefully coming through from the underage over the next 3 to 4 seasons.
And Richie, finally, I suppose, the Munster under 18 final, obviously, it's just a matter of monitoring the situation before they maybe announce some sort of a refixture.
It's a difficult scenario now, because obviously our training is cancelled as well. So
yeah, oh yeah.
So, it'll be 2 weeks, and then we'll just have to wait and see what happens. It may be pushed out again, but everyone's kind of in a holding pattern now, so it's hard to plan anything at this stage. So.
It's true.
We just don't know.
Well, thanks for coming on and joining us, Richie, and we were wishing Ennis all the best for the rest of the season once it does recommence and things get back going.
No problem. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
I suppose before we wrap up, James, there's a few more kind of fundraisers that were cancelled that we just need to mention. The Club Clare celebration of the 1995 All-Ireland Hurling success that was set for Tracy's West County tomorrow night has been postponed until provisionally the end of May. The Scariff Bay Community Radio table quiz that was scheduled for Ryan's Bar in Scariff this evening. We were performing a good team there.
I thought we were going to win that.
That's also been cancelled till the autumn. The Tulla GA Club's Road Hurling Tournament, which is due to place on Sunday, has had to be rescheduled as well, while Newmarket and Fergus GAA's reopening of their clubhouse on St. Patrick's Day is understandably postponed. So that's it, James. A strange show, wasn't it?
Yeah, we're in uncharted waters at the moment, Owen, but hopefully kind of the proactive stance being taken by everyone will be successfully preventative and things will be back up and motoring come Saturday, April,
Yeah. In the meantime, while there will be no fixtures, we'll surely pull another rabbit or two out of the hat for next Friday's show.
As long as it's not badgers you're pulling out of the hat on, I'd be happy
or
enough.
Skates.
Or skates, for that matter.
Until then, stay safe and good night.
Good night.